Embarrassment over.
We're going to look at the scriptures this morning for a short time, and we're going to look at three different texts. It wasn't the way I started out in preparation, but these words came to me on a number of occasions, and so I looked them up. And it's one of those, well, I suppose people would say coincidences, but if it is a coincidence, there's an awful lot of them in the Word of God. And it is where it comes in the scripture, where we have these three words together, lo, I come. Of course, that's in the English, and that's why I called it a coincidence rather than something which is actually written into the original scriptures. But these words come up three times. They come up slightly more, but four of those references are to the same verse. So three times, lo, I come. First of all, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 9, where we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Secondly, we find those words in Zechariah in chapter 2 and verse 10, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." And then finally, although this comes from Psalm 40, from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9 we read, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." So I just want to think about those three texts with you for a short time this morning. And it's a very short message that we have on Christmas morning, so we'll be going through fairly quickly here. So if you have your scripture, if you have the Bible with you, and you want to turn up these texts, first one comes from Exodus and chapter 19. If, again, you know your Bible, you will know that that chapter comes immediately before the Ten Commandments, and that God is preparing them to hear the Decalogue, the commandments which he gives to the people of Israel. So in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 9, we read there, we read from verse 7, in fact. "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord." These are very significant words in the scripture, because here we have that determination of the people to do what God commands them. And this is the whole issue from the foundation of the world, that man thinks that he can do what God has told him to do. And man continually seeks to earn his salvation through the works which he does. God says we should do this, and God says we should do that. And people seek salvation through that. And so they seek to do it through pilgrimages, or through church going, or through Bible reading, or whatever else it may be. All these works, so that we might earn a place in heaven. But it's significant in these words that all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. God says, Lo, I come to thee in a thick cloud. So here we have, first of all, this cloudy presence, the cloudy presence of God. It was a terrifying presence. The cloud comes down upon Mount Sinai, and from the cloud comes a voice which the people hear, and they are terrified of the God who speaks to them. And yet, even in their terror, they still don't obey him. Why not? Because sin rules in the flesh and in the heart of man. Because for all of our intentions, and for all of the energies that we might seek to put into being righteousness, we have to say with the Apostle Paul, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." And there is something in us, something in this old flesh, which recoils from the presence of God. You would think, to be that close to God, that the people would want to go unto him. But just look at the words from the end of the Ten Commandments in chapter 20 and verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. So here is the presence of God. We're thinking about Emmanuel, God with us. But the children of Israel were here and they were in the presence of God. But they had a completely wrong view. Their view was that whatever God told them, they would do it. And they knew not what was in their own hearts and how much sin and corruption was there. God, of course, knew. He lays before them these Ten Commandments, and he says, do these things and live. But they cannot do those things. And they fall at the very first hurdle, and he has reiterated it here, and he has said, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Well, the first commandment, of course, is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that, they broke it. They broke it almost immediately while Moses was still up in the mountain and the cloud surrounded that mountain and the thunderings and the lightnings were there. The children of Israel were down there in the valley with Aaron making a golden calf to worship. And they said to Aaron, up, make us gods that will go before us. Immediately, hadn't even come down from the mountain with the stones of commandment yet. And they had broken it already. You see, man is unable to keep the law of God. That is why the gospel is so important to us. That is why Jesus Christ came into this world to die upon the cross for us. Because we cannot save ourselves. It is a terrifying presence, this. And indeed, if we stand before God without salvation in Christ, it will be a terrifying presence once again. When Moses went up into the mountain, however, and stood in the presence of God and received those Ten Commandments, he came down out of the mountain with his face shining. Again in Exodus and chapter 34, we read there from verse 18. Exodus 34 and verse 18. Verse 30, I was reading two different texts. Exodus 34 and verse 30. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that were at that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. How could Moses stand in the presence of God? Was Moses without sin? Do we not read that Moses didn't even go into the promised land because he had sinned against God? Wasn't it Moses that came down out of the mountain and broke the commandments upon the ground? Moses stood in the presence of God by grace because God had beckoned him and said, I will have you to come and stand in my presence. God cleansed him. God forgave him. And God forgives through the Lord Jesus Christ, even to this day. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. That thick cloud in which the Lord came still lays upon the hearts of those that believe not. The second verse we want to look at is in Zechariah and in chapter 2. Zechariah and chapter 2, that's just two books back from Matthew. If you know where Matthew is, then you can go back to Malachi and then Zechariah. Zechariah and chapter 2 and verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. The word there, if you have an authorized version, will be in capital, small capital letters, the Lord. The word Jehovah is used there. I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Jehovah. And many nations shall be joined to Jehovah in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that Jehovah of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And Jehovah shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. This is a comforting promise to the people. The people had lately been in captivity in Babylon. They had been released, as the Lord had promised them, in the days of Cyrus, and then also in Artaxerxes. In those days, Ezra and Nehemiah had come back out of the land, and they were rebuilding Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple, and they were working there in the days of Zechariah and Haggai also. In Ezra chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, we read, the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak and began to build the house of God which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. So here is this comforting promise to an embattled people. Now, they had been in captivity and they'd come out of captivity, but they had come back to this destruction. The walls of Jerusalem had been pulled down. The place had been ransacked, and that now it was for their time to rebuild. But they needed a lot of encouragement. When you read through the book of Haggai, with just two chapters there, we find that the people were building their own houses and they weren't building the temple of God. But you see, building the temple of God was not actually going to help them, because what they needed was God in the midst of them. They needed the Lord in the midst of them. Their thought was that in the days of Solomon, when the temple was built, the presence of the Lord came in and filled the temple. And if they built the temple, the Lord would come amongst them. And here we find that the Lord makes that promise, I will dwell in the midst of thee. And it's a significant portion, isn't it, where it says, for lo, I come, I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Jehovah, and thou shalt know that Jehovah of hosts hath sent me unto thee. So Jehovah sends Jehovah. You see, we've just sung that carol, haven't we? God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb, very God, begotten, not created. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is God who comes into the midst of us, but not into a temple built with hands. But here is this comforting promise then, and an encouraging prophecy that one day God will come into the midst of them. And through this book of Zechariah, there is this promise, but the promise is linked in a way to understanding that they are not able to keep the law of God. He says, if you do my commandments, I will come amongst you. But the whole time through the Old Testament, what God is doing is he is saying, keep my commandments. And constantly people are breaking those commandments. And they come and they bring sacrifices and other things to try and get themselves right with God. But they are not comprehending, understanding that they cannot keep God's commandments. That they need a saviour. Friend, this morning, you need a saviour. We cannot keep the commandments of God. We cannot earn our salvation. We need God to be gracious unto us and merciful unto us. So there is this comforting promise of the coming of God into the midst of the people, but he comes not yet. And then we turn to Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 9. Hebrews 10 and verse 9. And here in Hebrews 10, the preacher is referring back to Psalm 40 and verses 6 and 8. So I said that there are a few other occasions where these words, "Lo, I come," occur in the scripture, but they're all the same thing. So we're just taking one of those which is the most useful to us this morning. So we've seen the cloudy presence of God, where he is veiled, and the law is given, and the people are afraid, and they break the law immediately. We've seen the comforting promise of God. If you keep my commandments, I will come into the midst of you. There is hope here. But now we come to consider the compliant person of God, because it is the Lord himself who comes into the midst of us. So in Hebrews then, in chapter 10, we read there from the first verse, I think. For the law, that's the law, the Ten Commandments and the commandments which God gave, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Then said I, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, that is the will of Christ, to do thy will of God, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So here, when we consider this compliant person of Jesus Christ, the one that we're thinking about this morning on Christmas Day, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, it is because of the recognized failure of man and the recognized failure of the law for salvation, because we have broken the law, and the sacrifices which were made could never make the conscience clean nor take away sin. And so Jesus Christ says, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God." And it is in the body of Christ and his death upon the cross of Calvary that our sins are forgiven. It is Christ who has come. So we see this recognized failure, first of all, that failure which they didn't see in Exodus, which they didn't see even in Zechariah, now it is seen in the presence of the Lamb of God who dies upon the cross of Calvary. And we recognize that Jesus Christ came to save us, because self-salvation was not a possibility. So we have a realized fulfillment then. Galatians 4 verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And we then, like Moses, now can go into the presence of God. Indeed, in this very chapter, it tells us that we should come boldly into the presence of God. Verse 19, chapter 10, verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having our high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Jesus Christ is salvation. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ this day can cleanse you from your sins, wash you, and bring you into his presence, that we might stand without fear in the presence of God, boldly entering into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What a tremendous gospel this is. What a tremendous good news this is. And this day, the world is celebrating around Christmas trees and with gifts and getting drunk and having arguments over different things in their houses. A whole family comes together. And you and I and others like us across this nation, across this world, gathering to the house of God that we might worship and rejoice in so great a salvation. What a blessing. What a joy. To be able to think upon so great a salvation, a gift of salvation. Not just a gift which will wear out or be outmoded in a few years' time, but a gift of eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. Cleanness of conscience. And being able to walk and to talk with the God of heaven. I don't know this morning if you all know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. But this is God's plan from the beginning. As he spoke to Adam, and as he spoke particularly to the serpent, as it happens, and said that the seed of the woman would crush his head. There is the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by a virgin birth, that he should die upon the cross of Calvary and destroy the power of sin and of death, that we might walk with him in joy. It's what's needed in this country in these days. 144 people, I read the other day, have been stabbed to death in this country. Every time you put on some new program, it seems, on the BBC or on Netflix or wherever it may be, it's filled with profanity and is filled with references to sexuality, and the world keeps going down and down and down. And how we need to turn again to the God of heaven, who will raise us up and up and up into his presence, and to know the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. We read together from Luke the words of the angels as they sang in the heavens toward those shepherds gathered together amongst their sheep. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. Peace on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ offers. Not just to you and to me, but to the world. If we will recognize that we are sinners and that Christ has come to save sinners. May the Lord bless his word to us this day. For there is one other reference which I will leave you with. And it's not quite the same, but as I say, this is the translation where I get these words. Not necessarily fully the Hebrew or the Greek which is there. But in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 it says, "Behold," or "lo, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. He cometh with clouds." That's the promise which is left to us now. We wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. May the Lord bless us in that day, that we shall not be like those who feared his voice and hid themselves, but that we will say with John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Let's pray. Bless thy word, Father, to us. We've read many words from the scriptures this day. And thy word shall not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish that whereto thou dost send it, and So, Father, we commit it to thee. We pray that thou wilt breathe upon it and make it live in the hearts of all who have heard this morning. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.